Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and worship you as a body of believers. Father, it's amazing on how you've transformed so many of our lives. May we not take that for granted. Lord, we thank you for the offerings that you provide. Father, may we use it for your glory. We pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand for worship. Sun comes up.
The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing as the evening comes.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Take the time to lift up those who don't know Jesus in prayer. And the Bible tells us in Psalms 25, the Lord is good and upright, and therefore he shows sinners the way. He leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches them his ways. You know, it's easy for us to get caught up in thinking that we're the ones who've got to go out and save all these people. That's not the case. We're called to go out and be the light to our community and to the world. We're supposed to show Jesus' love and compassion in everything we do to point them back to him, because he's the one who makes the way. He's the one who transforms their heart. And we're called to lift these people up daily in prayer, the ones in our lives who are walking around without knowing him. If you guys haven't figured out by now, this is a big passion of mine, that we reach the lost for Jesus. It's not about us. It's about bringing him glory and honor. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't been doing it yet, grab one of the little My Three cards. Write the people's names on it that need to know Jesus in your life. Lift them up in prayer. We've had so many people come to Jesus. I've heard stories of whole families coming to Jesus that were on these lists. Let's never give up. Let's constantly pursue him and lift these people up to him. So let's take a moment and pray for them as a church body, remembering that Jesus is the one who transforms lives. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We lift up each one of these people. Father, you know who's on the hearts and minds of the people around us. You know the ones that are walking around lost in our community, in our families. Father, we lift them up to you. Father, we know you're the one who will change them. You're the one that can renew them and give them that new mind. Father, you're the one that can offer them peace where they find no peace. Lord, we lift up each one by name. We hand them over to you. And Father, I pray for each person here today that they may be bold in sharing this message of hope, that they may be not just with their words, but even their examples, that they may live it out, and that others may come to them and see you through them. We thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to worship him this morning.
10 through 12. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live in the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy there are for those who trust in you.
I once was.
Amen. You guys may be seated.
Amen. Good morning, church. Hope everyone is doing well this morning. I want to take a moment at this time, and all three-year-olds through third graders are dismissed for junior church this morning. So if you're three to third grade, check off for junior church. See Miss Ann back here and her helpers, and they're going to have some fun this morning. I also want to welcome everybody here this morning. I want to start by welcoming our guests that are here as well and those joining us online on the radio. We're so glad that you could join us, even if it's from a distance. And we're thankful for each of you. But before we dive into the message this morning, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and to learn more about you. Lord, I ask that you work on each one of our hearts this morning. Father, that we may start to see people as you see them, that we can find hope in you, no matter what we face in life. Lord, I ask that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, may it just be something that rejuvenates each of us, gets us excited to be the hands and feet that you've called us to be. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, last week we finished up Mark chapter 4, where we saw Jesus traveling to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, this was all the way on the other side from where he had been teaching and he'd been healing people, and he was wore out. The scriptures actually tell us that he fell asleep on the boat on the ride over. And it was during that travel, though, that him and his disciples, plus many more that would have been on the water, came across a very large storm. So great that it actually started to kick up the waves and spraying water over the boat. The boat started rocking back and forth, filling it with water, and even crashing the waves over him to the point that the boat began to sink. And as you can imagine, the disciples found themselves to be scared inside of the storm. But who can blame them? Water starts coming into the boat is not exactly where we would be excited. That can be scary. You know, this was an unexpected storm in the life for them. Not something they saw coming. We were reminded in the text last week that that's how life often goes. We can never really be prepared for the storms in our lives that come our way. And they often come when we least expect them as well. They pop up without warning, just as that storm did. Yet even when all hope seemed lost, we were reminded in the text that God is still in control and that he can calm any storm that we may face in life. That he's already made a way where we may not see another way. We just have to look to him for that hope, remembering that God provides. And oftentimes he provides in the ways we least expect. We've all faced different storms at different points in our lives. And I believe we can all look back and see how God has provided in those unique times. We can look back and see how Jesus made a way where there was no way. I know it's easy to forget, and it's easier said than done at times when we're in the middle of the storm. But we can follow the disciples' examples and cry out to Jesus in the midst of it, remembering that he will calm it and he will control it. And let us praise God for that this morning. This morning, though, in our Life of Christ series, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're going to be over in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, for anybody who wants to follow along. This is actually one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's one where I find a great deal of hope for myself inside of it. I see how Jesus comes across people and he radically transforms their lives in ways that they've never seen before. How he changes the lives of the people the rest of the world has given up on. You know, guys, you've heard me talk about this over and over again, how we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, how we're called to go out and be the light to the community around us, how we're called to be bold for behalf of Christ and go out and share the good news and be this light in our community. And the reason I keep pushing it is because I have seen Jesus do radical things in people's lives. This isn't just words that I'm saying. I have seen lives truly transform in ways that I can't explain. Things that nothing of this world would make sense of. And I've seen it again and again. I've seen drug addicts set free. After years and years of addiction, I have seen them give it up and turn their lives to Jesus and live a life for him. I've seen alcoholics find recovery. They have gone through all of the programs, everything else, and they could never get it done. But they found Jesus, and he radically changed everything for him. I have seen it. I have seen families restored that were separated for years. I have seen people find hope again and again in our world that have never experienced hope because Jesus finally came into their lives. And there was a transformation that happened. For some reason, as a church, as a whole in America, we've gotten to the point where we put these blinders on. And we kind of have these blinders on to the things of the world around us. We see people struggling, we see people hurting, and we walk away. We don't stand up. We don't do what we're called to do. We may offer some basic hope for a moment. We may try to point them to a program somewhere. We may even open our wallets from time to time. But we often stop short of actually sharing the one that can make the difference. We stop short of sharing Jesus, the one who can truly transform their lives. You know, we have this habit as Christians to look at some sins as more sinful than others, don't we? Like we can really elevate and put these different sins at different levels and say, this person is worse than this person because of this and that. And we look even at our own sins and we think, well, we're not as bad as the next person, right? It's really easy for us to get caught up in that because as a society, we elevate different sins at different levels because it makes sense to us. But we have to remember that in Romans 3:23, it tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And sin is detestable to God no matter what shape or form it's in. No matter what sin you're facing, it's detestable to God. And we all sin and we all fall short. We all struggle with it at different points and in different ways. But here's the thing, sometimes some of our sin, and for some people it's more obvious than others. Right? We all sin, but sometimes we can spot someone's sin way sooner than we can spot someone else's sin. And it becomes this struggle within us, and we elevate. But here's the thing, and we may even start thinking that some people have their lives completely together, that they don't have struggles that they face because they don't have to worry about it. You know, because we don't see that sin. It's not right out in front of us. But what I've discovered, it doesn't seem to matter who the person is. Each person has sin, has struggle, has something in their life that they battle daily. Every single one of you in here have something that you battle daily. In 1 Timothy 5:24, it actually reminds us that some people's sin is more obvious, preceding them to judgment, but the sins of others will surface later. You know, it's easy to call out the obvious sin. It's really easy to call out that obvious sin. And when we spot it, we can see it a mile away. But it's really hard to call out that unobvious stuff. But eventually, it does kick up with us. It does catch up with the person. We all have struggles. We all have sin on this side of heaven. You know, when someone is dealing with different kinds of addictions, think about this for a moment. Their sin becomes obvious very quickly, right? When someone is dealing with an addiction, it is often a very easy sin that we can discover. You know, we get the news of them losing their job, failing drug tests, being arrested, all of that stuff, right? We can figure that out, whether it's alcohol, drugs, whether it's different things. We figure out what that sin is quickly. It becomes obvious in their lives. It's one where we even start seeing the effects of the body start to change. You watch somebody who's been on meth for 10 years and you see their arrest record pictures. You see the transformation in their face and how it starts sinking in. Same thing with alcohol. After so many years, it becomes this change inside of their body, all of that. And we can spot that. And some of you may have experienced that personally or with a loved one or a friend that has struggled with addiction for years. And you know how this works. It's one where we see their quality of life start going backwards. We may offer help, but at a certain point, family and friends often give up and walk away inside of those moments. Family and friends start turning their backs on their loved ones because they've had enough. They've had enough. But you see, there's other sins that are not nearly as obvious that can have the same effect on us. In fact, it's often hidden for years, if not decades, slowly eroding away different areas of our lives. Look at the man or a woman that's addicted to pornography. And it slowly creates this divide between them and their spouse, where there's no longer that connection as it was before, causing this divide and hurt within the relationship. And it may not be as obvious, but internally it's destroying them. Look at the man or woman addicted to work and money. They start placing all of this in front of their family and friends, no longer having those deep relationships they had before. They start chasing after everything they've always had and always wanted instead of what God has blessed them with. And it's never enough. They lose what is truly important. And we could go on examples like this morning. I know it's really easy to call out the obvious sin and completely miss the unobvious ones. You know, it's really easy to say that God loves the world, but it can become very hard to apply it to everybody we run into. It can become extremely difficult in those moments to love those people where we're seeing their sin so obviously. And we fail to apply it to our friends and family who are struggling in different ways with different sins. And what do we often do? We cast them to the side. We cast them to the side. And I'm not speaking out of ignorance this morning. I'm speaking out of experience. My own family has faced a lot of heartache and pain with loved ones or dealing with different addictions and sins. And theirs were a lot of theirs was out in the open for the world to see. Everything from my own father's addictions to meth. And praise God that he's clean today. All the way to uncles and cousins who have struggled with alcohol and different drugs and spent time in it. Even down to a cousin who drank himself to death. I have seen the effects of all of this, of the extreme to the obvious to the unobvious. And I understand the pain and the heartache that these things can bring us. But I'm reminded that we all have struggles, that we all face problems in life. Just some of them are more obvious than others. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at a man who had an unclean spirit within him, one where the world around him had given up completely on him all over again. Yet when Jesus came into his life, everything changed. When he encountered Jesus, his life was radically transformed. He was restored and he was made whole again, just as Jesus has done for us and what Jesus can do for the world around us. He can restore us in ways we do not often understand. So let's dive in, starting with verse 1. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1, it says, they came to the other side of the sea, the region of Gerasena. Now, if you remember, Jesus left where he had been teaching, and he took off to the other side of the sea last week, where they had found themselves in the middle of a storm, one that about wiped them out. But it wasn't just them. It was roughly 300 other boats out there in the water with them. And Jesus calmed that storm. And since that storm was calm, they made it to the other side of the sea, the region called Gerasena. Now, this region was mainly inhabited by Gentiles, being people who did not believe in the one true God of Israel. This was a lost people group. But one thing I want us to consider about this as we're going in, you know, it's easy for us on our own individual basis to cry out to Jesus when we have pain and suffering that we're dealing with. But for some reason, we struggle handing it out to other people, don't we? We know that's where we go as believers for ourselves. But we often don't offer that same hope to others. Yet we know Jesus is the one who calmed our storm. Why wouldn't he calm the storms of others? The passage continues in verse 2 and it says, "And as soon as he got out of the boat, a man with an unclean spirit came out of the tombs and met him." Now see, the disciples would have been used to people coming out and seeing them. You know, at this point, Jesus kind of had a following and a reputation. A lot of people wanted to come out and learn what he had to say, and they wanted to bring family and friends that were ill and needed help with everything and be cured. So they were used to people coming out to them. But they would have been used to both Jews and Gentiles coming out. Yet this would have been a completely different sight than what they've been accustomed to. Here, instead of a large crowd and people who seem normal to them coming out to see them, running out to see them, they had a man who was demon-possessed coming out to see them. Now, this tomb area, it is their graveyard area, but let me explain. It is not like the nice graveyards we're used to seeing today. This wasn't a well-kept-up area with a couple nice stones there, everything else. No, this would have been a bunch of cave-like structures where it would have been sharp cliffs and rocks and everything else, and a place where they would have laid their dead. It's not a place you would want to go have a picnic. Let's put it that way. And this is where that man hung out. In verses 3 through 5, we get a picture of what state this man was in, and it reads, "He lived in the tombs and no one was able to restrain him anymore, not even with a chain." Verse 4 says, "Because he often had been bound with shackles and chains, but had torn the chains apart and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him." And verse 5 says, "Night and day among the tombs and the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones." This man had been struggling for many, many years. This is something that was not just an overnight thing. You know, we look at this package and we see this image of him being painted and what the state of mind that he was in. He would have been bloodied and bruised all over. He had cuts and scrapes all over him. It tells us later on that he was naked at this time. Can you imagine the sight they would have seen having this man come running towards them? This man no longer could live with his family and friends. Now, here's the thing. It didn't mean that his friends and family didn't care about him. Just like most of us, we have people in our lives that we know are living a life so far away that are lost and are hurting, and we just don't know what to do anymore. And it doesn't mean that they hadn't cared about him. In fact, if we look back on verse 3, it tells us that they were no longer able to restrain him. No longer able to restrain him, which tells us that they tried to help him. I think back on my own dad's life and how many times we tried to get him help. But at a certain point, you can't. You yourself, on the human side of us, we cannot help somebody when they're in that position. Only Jesus can. And that's what we have to remember. But we know that he was cared for, he was loved, that they even tried to restrain him. And this wasn't something that happened overnight. But he kept trying to hurt himself, and they tried to keep him from doing that. But he'd gotten so bad, they could no longer restrain him, keeping him from that. The power of the demons inside of him were too great. Sometimes that power of addiction is too great. And it's not always just drugs and alcohol. Sometimes it's the love of money. Sometimes it's pornography. Sometimes it's the love of possession. Sometimes it's all types of stuff. It can become so great in us that nothing we do seems to be able to control it anymore. You know, when we look back to Genesis, we're reminded in the beginning God created man, right? Man and woman. And what did he do? He created us in the image of God, the Imago Dei. God created us that way. And even after the fall, even after the whole fall of mankind, everything else, we were still created in the image of God. We were still supposed to be a reflection of him to the world around us. And then in the demon's case, they couldn't stand that. And what did they do? They tried to destroy the image of God. He was demon-possessed, going out and about. And they were trying to destroy this man because he was made in the image of God. When I read this passage, it breaks my heart because I can imagine so many people that are struggling inside of this moment. I know so many people that have different addictions and moments and stuff that they're dealing with and how it's destroying them from the inside out. You know, we live in a small community where we try to hide away the struggles of the people around us. But let's be honest, we all know somebody that is dealing with an addiction or a problem of some kind around us. And it is tearing them down. And it could be all types of different sins, but I see it over and over again. Not just the drugs and alcohol, but even the other things. Slowly destroying us from the inside out. And these problems affect so many lives in our community today. Just talk to the fire, the police, EMS. They'll tell you stories. Things that many of us don't want to hear. And sometimes these get so bad, we can feel like giving up like this family did for this man. Or his friends and family just finally said, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And we walk away. Because everything we've tried to do doesn't seem to work, and it's beginning to feel helpless. They're beginning to feel hopeless. I've been there. I know this feeling. And I know the people that are going through this struggle. And I know people like that. You know, one of the things my cousin said before he died, before he drank himself to death, one of the things I thought was always interesting, and it has stuck with me over and over. And by the way, I preached this passage at his funeral. One thing he said to me that always stuck with me. He said, Tim, do you think I like being this way? Do you think I like dealing with these addictions? He goes, there was a time I thought I could control it, but I can't anymore. I don't know what to do. And he just couldn't see how Jesus would love him. I know there's many other addicts that have the same mindset. They're like this man. They're so far gone that we see no way of turning their lives around, and they feel like there's no way of turning their lives around anymore. They feel so far gone, and all hope is lost, that it begins to destroy them from the inside out. You know, the devil is trying everything he can do to destroy us. He tries to do everything he can to destroy us from the inside out. He's trying to destroy the person because the person is made in the image of God. You know, in verse 6, it says, when he saw Jesus from a distance, when this man, this demon-possessed man, saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he knelt down before him. You know, when he saw Jesus coming from a distance, he did what he did for everybody else. He would run up and he would scare people away. That was the whole thing. He's coming out and trying to scare people away. And most of us, we would be scared away. If we go in somewhere and there's a man come running, covered in cuts and bruises and everything else, and naked, we're gone. Okay, I'm not sticking around for that. I will admit that. I wouldn't be there. But here's what happened with him. He ran up to try to scare him away, and when he got there, he realized it was Jesus. And what did he do? He knelt before him. He didn't kneel to worship him, though. The demon within him knelt out of submission to Jesus. He understood who Jesus was. He understood the power that he had. In verses 7 and 8, it continues, and he cried out with a loud voice, what do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you before God, don't torment me. For he had told him, come out of this man, you unclean spirit. You see, the demon understood something. He understood Jesus could do something that nobody on earth was able to do. He understood that Jesus had the power alone to remove the demon from this man and to restore him fully to where he's called to be. You see, Jesus' purpose is to heal and give people life. That's what he came to do, to restore us, make a way for us, to go ahead and so that we can be redeemed and that we can stand in front of our Heavenly Father at the end and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, that your sins are forgiven. Praise God, we have Jesus for that. And what the demon's job is to kill and destroy. That is all there is. That's what the devil wants to do. The conversation continued in verse 9 where it states, what is your name? He asked him. My name is Legion, he answered him, because we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of this region. A legion, by the way, is a Roman army of 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. They're saying there was 3,000 to 6,000 demons inside of this man. And the demons were asking Jesus to send them away. They knew he had the power. They knew Jesus had the power, and they wanted to get away from him as fast as they could. This was not who they wanted to see. In verse 11 and 12, it says, a large herd of pigs was there feeding on the hillside, and the demons begged him, send us to the pigs so that we may enter them. We need to remember that pigs were unclean animals in the Jewish people. Yes, that means that they did not eat bacon, for those of you. But the fact is, there was a large herd of pigs also shows that this was a Gentile area. Something that never would have been allowed inside of a Jewish region. And the reason they were asking to go to the pigs is because they knew they had to submit to the power of Jesus. They knew that he could send them back to hell, and they didn't want that. They wanted to go to the pigs. It tells us in verse 13, so he gave them permission, and the unclean spirit came out and entered the pigs, and the herd of about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and he drowned there. Did you notice Jesus didn't send them there? He gave them permission to go there. We may wonder, why didn't Jesus just send them straight to the pits of hell? Inside of that moment, I think part of it is because he wanted us to understand what the demons were trying to do. He wanted us to understand what the devil is trying to do and what his minions are constantly trying to do to us. If you notice here, the demons ran off into the herd of pigs, and what did they do with the herd of pigs? They tore them down the steep embankment into the sea, and they drowned all the pigs. They drowned all the pigs. Folks, in John's 10:10, it tells us, a thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that you may have life in abundance. The difference between Jesus and the demons came to destroy, Jesus came to set them free. And by him taking over the pigs and drowning all the pigs, it was a sign to the world of exactly the demons were trying to do. If they couldn't hurt the man, they were going to hurt the pigs. They came to destroy, and they destroyed. But God protected the man. Tells us in verse 14 then that the men who were tending them being the pigs, ran off and reported in the town and countryside, and the people went to see what happened. Can you imagine the story the man taking care of the pigs would have had for their town's people when they just saw? They come up, you won't believe what we just saw happening. The crazy guy that's been running out there and around the tombs, some man just came and cast off the demons into our pigs, and they're all they're drowned. They're all dead. They ran off the cliff. How many people do you think believe the story? They would have been in disbelief hearing this. Remember, these were Gentiles with their own false gods, their own things that they trusted in. And none of them would have been capable of doing what they just heard happening. And they have tried to help that man out there so many times, but they had no results. They couldn't believe it. And tells us in verse 15 through 17, then they came to Jesus and saw the man who had been demon-possessed sitting there, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs. Then they began to beg him to leave their region. This would have been an utter shock to them to see the man sitting there dressed in his right mind. This is something they never could have imagined happening. They'd given up all hope for this man's life. They just assumed that he would always be in that state until he died. Yeah, here comes Jesus. And he changed everything. Completely transforming the life of this man. They had tried all they could, and they could never get this man's life transformed. But the moment Jesus entered into his life and came around, everything changed. Who in your life today is walking around like this man, where there's no hope for a future for them, where everything inside the world is falling apart? Who's the drug addict, the alcoholic? Who's the one struggling to keep their family first? Who's the one doing all of this stuff? Who is living without Jesus in their life? The reason we have My Three, the reason we do the things that we do, is because we're called to go out and share Jesus who changes lives. And there is nobody that far gone that Jesus can't save them. But we have to be willing to present Jesus. I know we all struggle, but Jesus is pointing out that with Him, we can overcome anything. There's nothing we can't. And He restores us and makes us whole again. You know, we're so quick to give up on people. We're so quick to look at them as a lost cause to the world around us, where there's no hope. But in reality, all these people need is Jesus. He's the one who makes the change. I want you to look back at your own life before you knew Jesus. I want you to think about everything that you used to go through and the struggles that you faced and how Jesus helped you overcome them. Because I know He helped me overcome many of the sins of my life. He helped me overcome so much. He has radically transformed my life in a way you guys wouldn't recognize me if you knew me at 20. But God came into my life and changed me. I know others. I've got friends who were alcoholics, who spent time, drug addicts, who spent time in jail, who are out there preaching the gospel to everyone they can come across because they know what Jesus has done. But so often as a church, we want to come in here Sunday mornings, we want to do a little clapping, a little praising, and we leave it at that and we don't share the gospel, understanding there are people hurting and crying outside because they have no hope in their lives. And here we have Jesus. We've been given His word through 66 books. Folks, we have people who truly need Him, who need their lives transformed. We have maybe offered up man's solution, but we have not offered up the solution of God. Because it's the power of the Holy Spirit working in them that transforms them. That's what lifts the addictions. That's what makes them overcomers. That's what we're called to do. It is not just about us. It's about the lost inside, outside these walls. We cannot just count on them coming into the building. We need to go out to them and proclaim Jesus inside of those moments. Because let me tell you, when they get a hold of Jesus, everything changes. It tells us in verse 18, 19, and 20 that as He was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged Him earnestly that he might remain with them. He had discovered Jesus. Jesus transformed his life. He wanted to be there. He wanted everything. He just wanted to be surrounded by Jesus. But Jesus did not let him, but told him, go home to your people and report to them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. And in verse 20 it says, so he went out and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and they were all amazed. His life is a testimony. Each one of your lives are testimonies about where you've been and where God has placed you right now, how He has brought you along. And don't ever forget the power of your testimony and how God has transformed your life. And your calling is to go out and share that testimony with other people that they may discover who Jesus is, that their entire life may be completely transformed in a way that they never imagined. I want you to think about that, how God can do so much. We limit God so often, but He's the one who can do anything. The world gave up on this man. The world has given up on so many people around us. But Jesus never did. And as His followers, we should never give up on this world. We should never give up a person who is made in the image of God, the Imago Dei. We should be constantly pursuing them for Christ, lifting them up in prayer, and encouraging them to turn their lives over to Him. That is what we're called to do. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. Father, I ask that you work inside of each of our hearts this morning. That when we see lost people in our world around us, that we don't just cast them to the side and have given up hope. But Father, may we remember that our hope is found in you and that you're the one who can transform lives. Father, may we learn to be bold in proclaiming your name to the world around us, to the people that are hurting and in pain. Father, may you work through each of us. May we be bold vessels that go out and to be an example inside of our community of what it means to be believers in Christ. That it's not just words to us, but it's something that we deeply desire and that we shine through, that we're a light in our community. And that we never give up that hope that is found inside of you. Lord, I thank you for your word and for the reminder that no one is ever too far gone to turn their hearts and minds towards you. Father, may we share that as we go out this week, never giving up that hope and boldly proclaiming Jesus to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand.
Sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Amen. As we go out this week, may we remember that everyone is made in the image of God, the Imago Dei. I pray for you guys this week that you guys see everybody as God sees them, as people worthy to be saved, that we may be bold and proclaim to each person we run into how Jesus loves them, has died on the cross for them, and has given them an opportunity of hope they may not have seen before. May we not give that up. God bless and have a great week. And see.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.